Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our City Council meeting on this beautiful day, December 10th, 2012. We welcome each and everybody here, every one of you here, and as we go through our agenda, if you'd like to speak on any of the subjects, you may certainly do that. And just raise your hand at appropriate time, and we'll recognize you and ask you to come up and speak from that podium there. And just give us your name. That's all we need. And we're certainly glad you're here. As we begin, we'll have council prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
Before we enter into prayer, I just want to say at this time, so many of us feel incredibly blessed, and blessings comes in all forms and shapes and sizes. And I quickly want to tell you about a lady across the street that her husband passed this year, and she managed to sell her house pretty quickly to move back to Wisconsin with her family because she had no family here. And she had furniture in the house, didn't move anything out of her home, but moved to Wisconsin with her children. And she contacted Habitat about the furniture. Everything was left, the pots, pans, dishes, everything. And Habitat managed to get the furniture, and within 15 minutes, someone had called with a Habitat home, a new owner, and they had nothing. And she gave everything in that home to a Habitat owner. So those blessings come in different shapes and forms unexpectedly. And at this time, let's pause to give thanks to our Lord and Savior. Father in heaven, as we enter into these chambers to give thanks to you, you blessed us in so many ways, too numerous to name. You blessed us with a reasonable portion of health and strength, with loving families, a great city and staff, and dedicated volunteers. And we pause to say just thank you. We thank you, dear Father, for another day to show our love to you, but because certainly we have not done anything so great that you spared our lives, but you did, and we are saying thank you to you. We thank you for joy with our families and friends. Father God, in this season and throughout the year, we are reminded that although we feel blessed, there are many who are facing loss of hope, they're depressed, some are unemployed, there's loads of debts, and they don't know where they're going to go to find answers. We ask that you strengthen them, those who are weak and depressed. Show them that there is hope, and that hope is greater than fear. We pray a special prayer for families who are in despair. Allow them or someone to enter their lives to bring some sunshine in some way. We ask you to guide and protect those families and teach them to study your word and trust in your word. We pray a special blessing, dear Father, on those that bless others. It may be with a kind word or a gesture, as I've described earlier to the audience. We pray for the families of Sandy and Scotty, our fallen public safety officers. We pray for our officers, dear Father, who are in harm's way every minute of the day. They are already missed, and we pray that you cover and protect their families with your love. We pray for continued peace of our nation, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. And God, as we discuss the business of the evening, the agenda, we ask you to give us strong spiritual wisdom. May our decisions be one that projects righteousness and our behavior be in a way that pleases and honors you and you only. Use us, O dear Father, to accomplish your desire. In the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item of business this evening is the minutes, a consideration of the minutes from the regular meeting of November 26, 2012.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the minutes as written.
I second.
Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I had a couple of emails.
in relation to one of the items in the agenda, and I gave it to Mr. Pierce to add in there, so that's the only thing.
Well, now that would relate to tonight's agenda or the last agenda?
The last agenda. It'd be the it refers to the minutes we're approving tonight on the 26th. In relation to the 26 minutes.
Okay. Okay, could you give a full copy to Ms. Rideout as well? I'm not sure the members of council have the full copy. There's several emails attached.
I just gave them a cover letter because there's a number of pages there.
Right. This relates to the nomination to the Planning Commission.
That's correct.
It's like 35 pages worth of emails.
Yes.
If any council member needs to see what we're referring to.
I've got a number of those. I don't need them.
I think all the council members got them, and I only included council member memos. Whichever set of minutes, if it's in the next minutes, that's okay, too.
It would probably relate to more of the business tonight, Mr. Mayor. I mean, I'm not just to have them in the appropriate spot.
I want them to be right.
Yeah, we've got a, and I think you included it, the email from the candidate withdrawing their name from consideration. So really, it relates to all that. It might be more appropriate.
For next
if council approves it,
well,
for this
appropriate tonight. Yeah,
I withdraw my comment. Yeah.
I thought the minutes were for what transpired on the 26th, not what happened in between.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct.
All right,
they should go in tonight.
Withdraw it. We'll make it for next meeting.
Oh, they go in tonight.
They go into tonight's meeting
when we get to the boards and commissions.
Right. Yeah. Just hold that until we go into the appointments.
That is coming up under item one under old business, Mr.
Are you going to read all that into the record?
Not required.
No.
Okay,
any other discussion?
Yes.
If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. On the presentations, we have one, a donation at Hopeland's.
Thank you, Mayor. Tim Coakley, who is our Director of Public Services, and Tom Rapp, who is our staff horticulturist and arborist, are making their way to the microphone. And they have a very special presentation tonight that involve volunteers Tony Seeley and Dan Johnson. Tim.
Thanks. Mayor, City Council, City Manager, and citizens, we would like to present you with the bench. This is one bench. It's here in front of the mayor.
And it's a little close to the desk, Councilman. They need to lean up just a little bit to see it.
One of four benches that were made.
Beautiful.
And I want to give you a little bit of a story about them. Very often, and in this room, we've heard so many times how many gifted volunteers we have here at the city. And this was made by a couple of gentlemen. It came from a Deodoro cedar out at Hopeland Gardens. You know, not every city can get one of those. You need about 150 years and a lot of good luck with Mother Nature to grow on. So it's a priceless tree. It was a multi-trunked cedar, and one of the trunks died. And we preserved that wood and made these benches. So I'm going to let Tom Rapp tell you what all was involved.
Thanks, Tim. If anybody has been in Hopeland Gardens, you know what beauty is out there, including the large trees that many were planted before our times. In 2011 or early part, one of the trees, Deodoro's, near the Hall of Fame, lost about a third of the tree. It was a multi-trunk tree, and we lost a third of it, just completely died. No sign that anything was the matter. And because of the beauty of the gardens and the trees, we wanted to do everything we could to save it. So we did have to take that part out. I didn't want to take the rest of the tree down. Wanted to try to save what was left. And we did what's called soil remediation. We put down a layer of organic matter. We have now an air spade. You might have seen us on Park Avenue out in the front. And what it does is aerates the soil without doing any root damage. So we did that, and that worked the organic matter in, and then we put a layer of mulch down. And so far, the tree has showed sign of recovery. We haven't seen any more damage to it, and we actually did it to another big Deodoro near it, and both of them seem to be doing well. But Tim had the idea with the wood, and you can only imagine the size of that bench. There's three more benches, two larger than this one, of making some benches out of it and possibly placing them around the tree where the limb died. And I did got some names, called a couple, and everybody said call Dan Johnson. And he was one on my list that I hadn't called. I called Dan, and he said, yes, I'd be glad to help out and do what we can. And he had a has a friend, Tony Seeley, that do this kind of thing with wood and do an excellent job. And I was totally amazed. I had never seen anything like that, what they knew and what they could do to make this bench. There's a lot that goes into it. And Dan, unfortunately, couldn't be here tonight. He had a family emergency out west. His wife did come, and Tony's here. And Tony, would you like to briefly say a little bit about what y'all did to the... It's about a four-page write-up, and he's going to try to do that in about 2 or 3 minutes or less. And you're an engineer by trade, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Dan and I both are electrical engineers, retired, and it turns out we have common hobbies, one of which was working with wood. And we find it makes us feel a lot safer when you have two people working in a shop with large equipment, especially working with large timbers like this one. We were pleased when Tom called Dan and said they would like to make benches out of a Dedora cedar. This wood has history, and we like anything with history. When you can make something out of a piece of wood that has a history behind it, it makes it even better. So we talked with Tom and his people and asked them, could they help us a little bit? This log's kind of large, in case if you look at this bench and think about it, that is just one section of it. There was another section longer than that. We had to get it cut in half and move. The city helped us with that. We took it over to the city shop. They cut it the way we asked them to cut it. We took pieces of it to Dan's workshop and made the cuttings for the legs and dried them in the workshop. We left the larger parts with the city for about 8 months, I guess it was. They brought it back to us this late spring, and we put it in Dan's shop. We used electric hoists to move the logs around. They were so large. And to get that top flat, there was a lot of wood had to be removed. We found we could do it pretty well with hand tools. Something that size, you can't really get it on your table saw or something like that. So we used electric chainsaws, we used axes, we used planes, smoke shades, anything we could to get it down to where we could then apply the belt sander to it and smooth it out. We also, by using the legs and drying them in his shop, it works out that the legs have less moisture content than the large log itself. So when we put the legs in, the legs will expand while the log contracts, which makes it even a tighter fit where those legs come in contact with the base of the log. We used a joint called a fox wedge, so when you put that leg in, the probability of ever coming out is close to zero. You put the wedge in the end of the log, you drill a flat bottom hole, and when you drive that leg in, it pushes the wedge into the log and expands it out. We also put copper feet on the bottom of the legs so that if it sits in the soil, it should reduce the moisture content going up in the legs and should give the city a bench that will last many, many years. It will require some maintenance over the years, and we hope the city will be looking forward to doing a little rubbing and putting some more marine varnish on it before it's all over. But I think you're going to wind up with four very good benches that will last for many, many years. Thank you.
Tony, thank you so much.
Well, we hope to have them placed out there first of the year, Tom.
Yep.
We're going to put them around the tree that the wood came from.
So that'll be close to the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame, that big circle.
Across from the entrance, almost.
Yeah.
And Tim, my understanding is otherwise these logs would have just gone to the landfill.
That's right.
That right.
Normal policy for tree debris like that would be to bury it at the construction landfill, but we thought better.
Tim, one question. Since these two guys were both electrical engineers, and I heard something about copper, there are no wires going to this, are there?
No wires. We decided not to automate the bench.
Not automate.
The thing is, if you decide to automate the bench, decide to count the rings on that, you'll find that log is in excess of 100 years old.
Why?
Why?
We also made a pipe to go with it. Well,
thank you so much for the time and effort that it had to have been to do all of this. And everybody that was involved, we thank everyone.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Did you know Tony prior to this?
I did not.
Who knew Tony? I'm just wondering what connection is.
How did we get in touch with him?
Through Dan.
Okay.
And
Tony is associated with Dan.
We've been doing woodwork together for about 6 years now.
Wow. Great job.
Dan couldn't be here without him. He would have been up there as often as
Well, we'll certainly tell him, and I understood his wife's here, that we really appreciate his effort as well. Teamwork, right? Very, very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Might be appropriate to recognize our Boy Scouts in the audience who are here for their citizenship award, probably.
Certainly. Would you stand and tell us what troop you're in? And also your name. You've got to do it loudly so we can hear.
My name is Jason Cantrell. We're part of the troop 431.
I'm Jason Cantrell.
Where is troop 421?
We're located out of Maxville, City Creek.
Okay. Welcome to City Council.
Very good. Thank you for being here. Citizenship badge, huh? Very good. Pardon me. Under old business, first item is appointments and discussion of appointees to the city boards, commissions, and the committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have two nominations to consider tonight, two appointments, actually. Councilmember Diggs recommended Philip Mary for reappointment to the Design Review Board. That term would expire December 31, 2014. Councilmember Ebner recommended Don Broderick for reappointment as well to the Design Review Board, and if reappointed, his term would expire December 31, 2014. And there is an additional appointment, that's S.J. Paternini, Pat Paternini, for reappointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals. That term would expire December 1, 2015. Jane Page Thompson had been submitted at the last council meeting for appointment to the Planning Commission, but she has withdrawn her name from consideration. So that vacancy continues.
Okay, thank
for
you.
City Council approval tonight, Mayor, would be the approval of these three appointments, Philip Mary, Don Broderick, both to Design Review Board, and Pat Paternini to the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay, thank you, sir, very much. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay.
I would just point out that Mr. Paternetti is in the audience tonight, and it's a good time to thank him for his years of service on the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Absolutely. Where are you?
He's over
there.
There
you are. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion?
I have one for consideration.
Okay. Just a minute. Any other discussion on this? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Okay. Passes unanimously. Yes, ma'am.
I have... For consideration at the next meeting, Jason Price, reappointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay. Anyone else?
I also recognize in the audience my appointment to the Planning Commission, Bob Vesely, who's here, and would like to publicly thank him for agreeing to serve.
Yes.
And I would like to nominate Ann Dix to the Community Development.
Okay. Very good. Anyone else?
I'll get you
I've
the
got
form.
Two. I'm Bob Newburn for the Environmental Energy Committee, and then Dr. Ken Cubbage for the Planning Commission.
Okay. Right. Any others? I've got two reappointments, McDonald Law to the Design Review Board, and Mark Hudgens to the Energy and Environmental Committee. So all of those nominees will be on the agenda in our next meeting.
That'll be January 14.
Okay, very good. Item 2, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 5.96 acres on Whiskey Road at Stratford Drive and to approve a proposed concept plan for construction of two hotels on this tract. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 5.96 acres of land, more or less, owned by Farrell L. Holly Jr. and others, to zone the same plan commercial and approve the proposed concept plan. That concept plan does appear on page 49 of your materials and incorporates recommended changes from the first time that a concept plan was presented. Notably, there is sidewalk to be included along Whiskey Road. The access onto Stratford Drive has been eliminated. There is a frontage road as well on the eastern border of the property that parallels Whiskey Road, as well as a cutout to the northern remaining portion of the track and to the western portion of the track. There was considerable discussion about that in a prior plan that was presented. We've included the materials here that include the traffic study, and council unanimously approved this on first reading at our November 26 meeting. For consideration tonight is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex the property and approve the proposed concept plan that I've cited to council.
Okay. I see.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Homoki moved and Councilmember Price seconded.
Okay, any discussion?
I think one thing, I had a citizen from that area wanted just to be sure that there's no exterior kennels. And I think Mr. Cunning said there would.
Huh? That's the next
one. Oh, this
wrong
is a one, hotel.
It's just for the hotel.
Excuse me. Read that in the record, too?
I got my orders out. Orders.
Right, so that's the next item.
Yeah. We don't need any kennels at the hotel.
I don't know. That's
okay.
Is this a hotel or a kennel we're voting on? Right?
This is the hotel.
Any more discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Very good. Thank you. Item 3 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for Woodside Plantation and to approve veterinarian office in an office complex. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 5.96 acres of land, more or less. Oh, excuse me. Let me get to the right ordinance, Mayor. I apologize. Here we go. It's an ordinance amending the concept plan for Woodside Professional Suites. This is second reading for that ordinance. That's the title of the ordinance. This came before you at the November 26 meeting. There was a question at our first reading, Mayor, about whether the veterinary office was to be in the particular building. Building B, and I've had a call from Pat Cunning today, and he's indicated that they would want the approved use for this executive park, but not for that particular building. I wanted to clarify that. And certainly, Mr. Ebner, is going to your question about the external kennels. That can be a condition of approval if council would care to vote that. The city attorney can address that.
Yes,
you unanimously passed the ordinance on first reading at the November 26th meeting, and this is second reading and public hearing for an ordinance to allow that amendment to the concept plan to allow a veterinary office to be included within these professional suites.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved. We need to make the amendment of the location change.
Yes, it would not be Building B. It would just be for this complex.
For this complex. It would not be in B. Okay.
Right. I'll second the motion.
Any discussion?
Well, I've asked a question twice in the wrong place tonight. I'll try to get it right this time.
No problem.
But a citizen, it came up at the first reading, then a citizen has wanted to be sure that there were no external kennels, and Mr. Cunning has stated that before. Mm-hmm. And also there would be solid walls around it. There would be no screen or wire in the walls of the building, so it would be a totally enclosed building. And I don't know if we need to write that in there or not to be sure that doesn't happen in the future.
To my way of thinking, and Ed may correct me, but in order for there to be an external kennel allowed to be built on this site. It would have to be in the concept plan.
Have to be there, okay.
And
right.
The concept plan doesn't show anything like that. So if they were to do that, they would have to come back to you for an amendment. So I don't think it's necessary to add a condition that there be no external kennels.
That would be fine. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and Mr. Evans, unfortunately, is not here. He's suffering from the bug that's going around town, so he apologizes for not being with us today, but I don't think we want it here, quite frankly. And again, our understanding is it was for the use for that building. Mr. Cunning was supposed to be here by about 7:30, so we can verify that with him once he arrives.
Yeah, that's fine, as long as it doesn't slip in on us.
Okay.
Okay, anything else? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass this unanimously. Under new business.
I'm sorry, Mayor, I didn't get who made the motion and second on that.
Reggie moved and I seconded.
Okay, thank you.
And could I just interrupt? We've introduced everybody. Philip Mayer is in the audience as well and is hoping to join us and with a vacant chair that we have. And again, we need to express our appreciation to him for the work he's done on the design review board.
Mm-hmm. Item one, approval of the...
Don't want him to feel left out.
Item one, approval of the 2013 Aiken City Court Jury Box. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have an affidavit from Sarah Rideout, our city clerk, about the jury box. Every year we have to come before city council under state law to establish the jury box for the following year. So this is the jury box for 2013 for city court. And our city solicitor is very anxious that council approve this so she can continue to have jury trials on Fridays. There are 16,002 names, and you'll see the affidavit from Mrs. Rideout that she has helped in the preparation of this box at every stage and that it complies with the requirements of the state law that's cited to you. And we would just need that approved because City Council acts as jury commissioners for our city court. So the for approval would be the 2013 City Court Jury Box.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item two is a resolution to accept the storm sewer infrastructure in Woodside Plantation Phases 1, 2, and 3. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing the acceptance of a deed of dedication for the right-of-way storm sewer lines, catch basins, and related equipment from the Woodside Property Owners Association. This would include all the pipe connections to the catch basins. Mr. Morris is here tonight, and he did look into our records. We have accepted the storm system in Phase 4. He was requested by the Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association to inspect the Phase 1, 2, and 3 stormwater infrastructure. That was done. Larry is here. You have his memorandum in the materials on page 119. He did an inspection and found some deficiencies that needed to be done, and particularly deficiencies in the Mockernut Circle stormwater infrastructure. That was attended to by the Property Owners Association, and Larry has informed me and council that the storm water infrastructure for Phase 1, 2, and 3 now meets city requirements and is recommending that council approve accepting this infrastructure. So for council consideration tonight is adoption of a resolution to accept the storm sewer infrastructure in Woodside Plantation Phases 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, who is who?
I'll second.
Okay. Okay. Everybody's anxious tonight. Okay, any discussion?
Yeah, I just have a question. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I need to speak with Mr. Morris a minute.
Larry, if you would come up, please.
My question while he's coming up is on his memo, it says that individual pipe runs between catch basins were not inspected. Maybe one of the engineers on council could tell me if that's important.
And I'm sure Mr. Morris would be happy to address that as well.
That is correct. The putting the camera through every foot of pipe out there was
well beyond what we were capable of doing. We did purchase a camera, though, that would allow us to visually inspect all of the catch basins and all of the piping coming in so that we could see about 5 or 6 feet up into the pipe itself. At the same time, we could see daylight where there would be a catch basin at the other end to make sure that there wasn't any blockages or collapsed pipe, which we did do. So we're satisfied that from what we saw, the system is in good enough shape that we have no problem recommending that we take all of the storm sewers right-of-way and off right-of-way in those three phases.
Thank you.
Couple of questions for Larry, and this goes back to 2007 when this kind of started. This would complete not only the stormwater lines and then not only in Woodside, but there's some that come out of the village and then some from the new Woodside Medical Center. All of those now tie into the Woodside detention ponds, right?
That is correct. The village has separate detention ponds. However, the discharge from that pond is piped over into one of the Woodside lakes. Now, we were very clear with the Property Owners Association. We are not taking the lakes. We are not taking any maintenance of the lakes, only the piping system that goes to the lakes.
All right, because some of those are technically they're detention ponds and not lakes.
That is correct.
Okay, and that's no issue with the neighborhood. Now, this completes the stormwater and the sewer lines. We've got all of those done, phase 1, 2, and 3, and 4.
All of the water and sewer infrastructure has already been accepted. That is eligible for acceptance. Of course, they are working right now on some new areas that are not ready for acceptance. Okay. So we have accepted those, and this completes the acceptance of utilities in Woodside.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for doing that. It took us a while, but we got there.
We wanted to make sure we looked in every catch basin, and we did.
Well, there's a lot of miles of pipe involved in it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Larry, a question. The equipment you use to do this, is this the same equipment that you're using throughout the city?
No, sir. This is actually some specialized equipment. Woodside Property Owners Association donated $500 toward the purchase of this equipment, and it's a camera that we can get very, very up close with. Has basically a fisheye lens on it, so you can get a good look at what you're looking at, and we could inspect these without actually going into the manholes. Mm-hmm. So that helped us out tremendously. Without having to do a confined space entry on every one of these manholes, because there are quite a few out there.
Well, will that be used with the city work that you're doing inside the other places in the city?
I mean, we can use it for other stormwater work.
Yeah.
We can't use it for sanitary sewer work because the sanitary sewers take a very specialized camera that is armor plated, if you will, to keep the sewer materials
right
from harming it.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second.
Did you?
Okay. Did you want to ask Pat a question?
No. The city attorney answered my question on that. Thank you.
If we can take this vote, then we can.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Show of hands, please. All in favor of this passes unanimously. Okay.
Mr. Cunning, we actually just took up your item about 5 minutes ago, and it was approved unanimously. The question was that the veterinary office council voted so it could be anywhere in that complex. Do you know of any plans for a kennel or exterior, like wire fencing?
Kennel did not put in. We did put in the cover.
Okay. Okay, all right. And again, what has been approved is the veterinary office can be anywhere in that complex. No kennels approved, just so you know that. Right. But it's not assigned to a particular building. Okay. Yes, sir.
Sarah, could you pick that up, that conversation?
Sorry. Do you need Mr. Cunning at the microphone, sir? Would that help you?
Yeah, Pat, would you mind come up and just kind of repeating what you said so we can get it on the...
Mayor, I apologize. I forgot my manners.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay this time.
Thank you, sir.
Let's make his trip worthwhile.
Absolutely.
That's all right. I did it twice tonight, so he's okay.
meeting. Thank you very much.
Good for you.
We'd just like to see you there anyway.
Thank you.
And that's the seat there, you know. You had that seat at one time.
I know. Well, there's people running for it now. So.
I know.
Pat Cunning, 113 Mulberry.
And just this way the machine will pick up all that we just said. But what I was telling you is about 5 minutes ago, this item came up for the veterinary office, and council has voted to approve it. It can be in the office, in any office in that complex.
Right.
The concern was that there not be any kennel there or any, you know, cyclone fencing. Was that it, Mr.?
Right. It's in the covenants, which are been approved by the other individual who bought in there, no animals may be housed or kept outdoors, no outdoor kennels may be constructed or operated on the property.
All right. So the use is approved. That was just a concern we want to make sure we addressed on the record.
Right.
Yes, sir?
Thank you, Pat.
Did I make amends, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Very good.
Wow.
Okay. We're down to petitions and requests and information. And information.
Under information, I just wanted to put in the record and let the citizens in attendance know that City Hall will close at noon on Christmas Eve and will be closed all Christmas Day. There's no second council meeting scheduled for Christmas Eve. That would be your normal time to meet on the schedule, but council has voted not to meet on Christmas Eve, and we will be closed New Year's Day. We are in the process of moving into the administration and finance building, which will be at 135 Lawrence Street Southwest. We've started that move. The city manager's office will finish our move over to that building tomorrow. The finance department will begin its move Wednesday and Thursday, weather permitting. Now, during this time, citizens can continue to make payments at the payment window here at City Hall until 5 o'clock Friday, and then after five o'clock Friday, payments can be made at 135 Lawrence Street. So Monday morning at 8:10, we'll open up there. We are posting signs. We will have the new drive-through activated, which means folks won't have to sit and wait on a tube. They'll actually talk to a staff member. And also for the citizens, there's a payment slot. Currently, folks that come after hours or prefer just to leave an envelope, I have to get out of their cars and come stand in the alcove of City Hall. Now they'll be able just to drive up through the drive-through that is on the Hain Avenue extension side of the building and just drop that and go. So they have a choice. They can drop their payment in the slot, or they can talk to one of our staff members. And that's when that will begin, Monday of next week. But we will be moving, and we appreciate the public and the council's patience as we try to unplug, plug up again, and organize our offices. We hope that's going to go very well. And with the Municipal Association, of course, it's the time of year where we're discussing submissions for the annual Municipal Achievement Award. I had a retreat with staff 10 days ago, and we discussed several items that we've worked on. And Glenn Parker, who's the Director of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, and the rest of staff had a discussion about everything that the city is doing to address the aging out of the baby boomer population, the formation of the Senior Commission, our senior tax write-off program, our programming for seniors, our volunteers. Mayor, you remember with our 175th celebration in 2010, we just had a legion of volunteers that came forward with a lot of contribution that they've made to Aiken. And we are developing a working title, and we would anticipate coming to council on January 14 with more detail. But the submission will be, dealing with an aging population, something every city in South Carolina is doing. And we just have a long list of the programming and opportunities we have for seniors in our community so that seniors can continue to contribute. I think the most recent example that we have, aside from these gorgeous bench that's in front of the desk tonight, is our geochemist that came in, Jim Hefner, and talked to us about our water supplies on the south side that he thinks can last another 20 or 30 mm-hmm. years. And actually, we've had senior volunteers that have helped today pack up the city manager's office and Sarah, I don't want to speak for you, but I think they've done a wonderful job for us and made light work with many hands, and we're going to have a very easy transformation and move over, we think, to the administration and finance building, and they have really worked all day long. So that's the theme of the application, and Glenn and his staff are busy trying to fill out the application form, and we'll have a presentation then January 14th, so you know we'll be submitting. Unfortunately, you know, the Municipal Association has compressed the application schedule, so the 28th will actually be the due date, and we have to get that in before 5. So we don't want to do this in the dark, so the council's in the dark, but we'll have something to talk about on the 14th.
Very good. Very good.
And we had presented, I think, back earlier in the fall, a timeline for our capital projects, and there, a few of the council members expressed some concern over, you know, trying to kind of make out what was on the timeline, and I have copies for council to consider. This will be the second penny capital projects as well as the third penny capital projects. 016, that's the second penny. That's the round we're in right now. 017 will be the new round. So I'll pass that out to council, and certainly we can take up any questions at the January 14th meeting, and we will have a discussion and presentation at the Horizons Retreat, which will be February 1st, Friday afternoon, and then Saturday morning of February 2nd.
So will this be an agenda item then at the next meeting to discuss this, if we have any questions?
It certainly can be, Mr. DeWire. Yeah. If council just takes some time to have a look and let me know, we'll be more than happy. And again, this is just a draft timeline. We, particularly on that third round of 1 cent sales tax money, you know, council has very graciously advanced funds, and that's made the administration and finance building possible. And we certainly appreciate council working with us, and this is something we can discuss. Just to clarify, because it has been a question in the past, in the ballot for the second 1 cent sales tax, capital project sales tax, and in the third round, that 017 list, in the ballot that the citizens approve, council reserved the right to determine the order in which the projects would be completed. So the citizens have voted on the money, council has voted on the money. But as we've done, you have, you know, prioritized projects, and council retains that right at any time to vote on the order of the projects that we do.
I didn't recall that we did that. I thought
it was in the ballot. It was in the ballot that the citizens voted.
It does say that. Okay. But I guess we did.
Well, and again, that's just something council did. For that first round of 1 cent sales tax money, we got an opinion from DR that literally the money would come in, and you did project number one. Then the money would come in, then you would do project two, and it just wreaked havoc.
Okay, but again, we can discuss it next week. But our generally speaking, we're going to follow the list that we submitted for the ballot. And subject to the judgment that if project number five is not ready to get done, we can go to project number six.
Right, and that's something we would bring to council, Mr.
Yeah, but we're not going to indiscriminately go to project 25 when we could have done a project higher than earlier than 25, as an example. I mean,
Again, as far as my office goes, we're going to plan on going down the list.
Yes, okay.
And then, you know, certainly we're going to come to council from time to time. That's why it's important to read the issues and updates memo. You'll see we're putting the bids that are going out. Many of those are related to capital project sales tax funds, and we're going to endeavor to identify those so you know that this is like, you know, item five on capital sales tax project round three, so that council will know what we're doing and when we're doing it. And we can certainly discuss that at any time. That is not a problem.
I have a couple of items here. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I think the city attorney had a presentation that he wanted to give.
Dick, did you have something on this?
I'm let the city attorney go first, and then I got some other questions on the information.
Mine was very brief, and we had an email correspondence last week, and I just want to take the opportunity to once again remind city council I don't think it's appropriate for city council members to use email as a way to communicate with each other as a group. I don't think there's anything wrong with a council member sending an email to another council member. And sometimes it's easy. You may get an email from a citizen, and that citizen has emailed all of you. And it's real easy for us to hit reply to all. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the appropriate way to respond to that citizen. I'm not telling you can't respond to the citizen. You know, just respond to that citizen privately without including everybody else in the correspondence. Okay. And if we could all get together and do that, I think the communications would be better. Thank you.
Understood. Well, thank you for bringing that up. I think the other thing we need to put into there is about electronics. I don't know if email is the right word anymore, because electronic communication is almost moving away from email to Tweety Pie and all these other things.
Tweety Pie. Texting, yes.
Would not that count also, because that's, a tweet could come in, and I don't know if the city, I don't think the city tweets any business over that yet, but
we actually have a Twitter account.
Don't we need to expand that to say electronics, because you could get 44,000 people on Twitter.
The state law actually describes it as an electronic communication.
Okay.
And so in any form of electronic communication,
so we really need,
I'm not just picking on email, but that just happened to be the forum that came up.
Okay. I think that's important we all remember that, because another subject that's I'm going to ask to put on the next agenda has to do with citizens being able to speak at council on a non-subject, a non-agenda. So, I guess in the minutes it would be helpful, I think, if the city attorney would put a little statement in there to explain electronics communication. Because a lot of people still think of email, some especially with gray hair, they're not quite up to date yet.
Well, that's what we used for years. That's completely understandable.
I think that might be appropriate, Gary, to do that.
Well, I've got a lot of issues with Facebook that are a problem. So, but Facebook, there are people that have to tell you how they feel when they get up in the morning. But but Facebook is just one tool to the world, and it's no assurance that, for example, if I post something on Facebook, and the municipal association gave us all a page on how to set up our own Facebook accounts at the last municipal association meeting. But if I set up my own page and I put something on it, I don't have the knowledge that all of the other council members are going to read it. So I don't know how that would be addressed.
Right.
Well, wouldn't we have to?
I think the city attorney, that's a good question for him to address.
You can see your post. I think we'd have to submit a friend request.
Yeah. You can be my friend.
Mr. Ebner, to address your issue about citizens expressing their concern at a council meeting for an item that's not on the agenda, I don't know if Mr. Smith's prepared. He just went to the Municipal Attorney Association meeting last Friday, and I think there was a discussion on that topic.
We've been sparring over this for several months, obviously.
Well, I understand, but he's fresh from a discussion. This was municipal attorneys from all over the state of South Carolina.
Good, interesting.
Before we start, can I ask a question on email? There's various options on addressing. If you do BCC, a blind copy, if you put everybody in blind copy, nobody knows anybody else got it. Is that legal, or is that also bad?
You would be able to, if somebody were to do an investigation, I think they would be able to look at your email and decide that you blind carbon copied everybody on council. That would be a violation of the Freedom of Information Act.
That's fine. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah. The discussion was interesting, and I initiated it.
Yeah. I wonder why.
We were in the meeting and there were over 100 municipal attorneys in the room. It would have been a good opportunity for a bomb of some sort
to wipe us all out.
But we had a presentation from the executive director of the South Carolina School Board Association, and he was basically addressing us on the proper use of Robert's Rules of Order, or the proper how city council meetings should flow, and talking about the rules of order and that sort of thing. And the Lambrees versus Saluda County Council case came up, and I told him that I had advised my council that I believed, in light of the Lambrees ruling, that it was inappropriate to have an open-ended agenda item that said public discussion of whatever the public wants to discuss. And that's, I think we're on the same page on that.
Yeah, it's not, and in my 3 years, we have not taken somebody that speaks about a pothole and put that as a discussion item for that meeting, you know.
Right, right. The and there was discussion among the other municipal attorneys, and several agreed with me and several disagreed with me. And as I was talking with Mr. Dewar before the meeting, you know, we don't really have anybody in the room whose opinion matters more than anybody else's. But one of the guys in that room whose opinion matters more to me than anybody else's is Danny Crows. And he's you know, been a longtime counsel to the Municipal Association. Danny agreed with me. Doesn't make me right, doesn't make him right, and it doesn't mean all those other guys are wrong, and gals, I should say. It shows that there is a difference of opinion as to whether or not that is appropriate. I don't mind telling all of City Council, my opinion on that is the most conservative opinion.
Well, Gary, is your opinion go along with the court case?
Well, I think
me,
it does.
That's, is that not clear?
It is certainly subject to interpretation.
Okay,
that's correct.
But as I view the opinion, the clear message to me is that the focus is on whether or not a citizen looking at the published agenda has full knowledge of everything that's going to be discussed at a city council meeting. And if you have an open, Mr. Dewar showed me the Greenville City Council, and they have a very fine lawyer too. And I know we saw that over at North Augusta when we visited over there. They had the same thing.
What is that saying?
It just says there's an opportunity for the public to have discussion about whatever they want.
So they are allowing it.
Greenville is, yes.
Yeah. And that's what we used to do. I think most everybody realizes that until this court case came about.
From my perspective, we're not saying that the citizens can't do that. We're just asking the citizens to either let you know or let Mr. Pierce know that they want to be heard, and if it's an appropriate topic for discussion, if the time is ripe for the discussion, they'll be put on the agenda.
We would put that in the petitions and requests.
But it still has to be on the agenda, so I can't put an item on the agenda, discussions with Reggie at City Council, for instance.
The Lambrees decision makes it clear, I think, that a citizen should be able to look at the published agenda, and that citizen should then be able to make a decision. Do I need to get in my car and drive to the city council meeting to be heard on a particular issue that's going to be before city council?
But if
one of the distinctions that the other municipal attorneys was making was we weren't asking for council to vote on that particular issue.
That's correct.
Okay, we're simply allowing this person to come and speak. And I get the sense that some think that the position that I'm taking means we're denying the citizens the right to speak to the public. And I'm not saying that that's what we're doing. I mean, I'm not suggesting that's what we should do. All I'm suggesting is the agenda item should tell us what we're going to talk about.
If a citizen, let's say tonight there's a particular citizen here wanting to be sure about the kennels.
Right.
Okay, and that was on the agenda. I think that was appropriate.
Right.
But if another citizen shows up and wants to talk about a pothole,
right,
then that wouldn't be appropriate.
Unless they sent a letter to me asking to be on the agenda, we could put it on and then talk about potholes because we would.
I guess freedom of speech and what is that, number one on the Bill of Rights or something, just doesn't apply.
When's the last time you tried to go to the legislature and walk out on the floor and say something in their public session?
They won't even let you in anymore.
Right.
I've looked at council agendas from cities and municipalities throughout the state. I have too much spare time on my hands, but I do look at agendas, and I printed one out from Greenville, and they do have a comment for city council people, and the mayor and city council to make comments. It's an opinion, and quite frankly, if it's an opinion, and Gary has been very clear in saying that, I'd rather join the folks that are more transparent to the community. True, we don't know what they're going to do, but we can't act on it anyway. We cannot act on anything that comes before us that's not on the agenda. So we're talking about one thing and how we're going to govern, and then the other thing is how we get information. And I think everybody knows how I feel. I just think that It's a travesty if we don't allow a citizen. Now, that said, it doesn't happen here. I can't remember the last time a citizen came to council with a complaint, but I just feel that they ought to be able to do that. And
Since I've issued that opinion, I don't think we've had a citizen that wanted to speak to city council be told they can't speak to
I'm
city
not aware of that. And again, it's not the city attorney's opinion. It's the city attorney reporting to you on a court of appeals opinion, which is a court order. So, I mean, that is a court order until that decision of the court is, you know, modified, or it's the law until it's modified by a higher court.
But it's an interpretation of the law, I think.
By a court it's that an issues an order.
No.
Please.
Interpretation of that restriction by that Saluda County Appeals Court decision is his opinion, and as he just said, at the Municipal Attorney's Commission, it's half and half. I mean, so there is no one right answer.
Just so all of council understands why I have the conservative opinion or view that I do, the Freedom of Information Act does carry criminal penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're saying that the Saluda County Council violated the Freedom of Information Act. That's what the Lambrecht decision says.
But why? Not because they took
the public comment. Because the council was not following the officially published meeting agenda.
They changed the agenda.
Right.
They didn't get in trouble because they had public input. They got in trouble because they changed the agenda, which denied the public the right to know what was going on.
But they also talked about, in the opinion, the importance of the general public being able to look at the agenda and have a clear understanding of what's going to be discussed at a city council meeting.
And I think that's a very important point there, too. Let's look at that side of it as far as the citizens are concerned. They see an agenda, they look at and say, well, I don't need to go to that meeting to see anything about or talk or hear or anything about that item. And then it turns up the next day, they see it right up in the paper where, hey, that item was discussed, you know, and they didn't know anything about it because it wasn't on the agenda.
But it's not,
that is a protection, so to speak, to our citizens.
What's a protection?
Understanding what's... Just let me finish, please. Protecting the citizens, as I see it, from not knowing what's going on. At least they know what's on the agenda. And if they get their request in by, what, Monday? Is that right, Richard? By Monday? Is that your deadline?
Yes, sir. That's very helpful.
Then they can put anything they want to on there for the next agenda. But once the agenda comes out, they see that, and they say, okay, you know, I don't need to go talk about that item. And then it comes up. And I'm not saying that that's wrong or right. I'm just saying let's get all the facts out on the table. Because it is somewhat of a protection for the citizens, knowing what's on that agenda and whether or not I, as a citizen, need to go and talk about that or not.
Well, I think the mechanics, what is so sacrosanct about getting the information in on Monday, and what is so sacrosanct about sealing the agenda in concrete on Thursday? You know, is there a way? I mean, some issues actually may come up between Thursday and the time we have our meetings on Monday.
Well,
how do we change that?
There's two answers to that. The first is state law has publication requirements. You have to be published at least 24 hours in advance of the city council meeting, mm-hmm. so the public knows what the agenda is. If there truly is an emergency that comes up, there is a provision in state law that allows council how to conduct an emergency meeting without notice. But it has to be a true emergency. It can't just be we've got to help this guy out because he's got to close a deal on Friday.
And it's not sacrosanct as much as it is, you know, the parameters that council has adopted. As far as how far in advance of the council meeting you want the agenda packet. And, of course, we have to coordinate and get everything written up. And we have several people involved in preparing an agenda. A typical agenda involves at least a dozen people. So it's the mechanics of trying to process it. And in two years, I'm not aware of anything that has come up just off the top of my head that it absolutely, positively had to be that Monday night as opposed to the next meeting. And again, it's a matter of notice. We want to make sure that we've got it out there and folks have plenty of notice of it so they can come on.
All right, Gary, do you have an idea as to when this appeal will be heard? The Saluda County appealed it.
The Supreme Court has not accepted cert to my knowledge. It's going through the process, but it is not.
Well, I just make my last.
I would say it's at least a year.
I'll just make my last comment. It's frustrating to see some communities in the state that are more open to their citizens and listening to them without taking actions, and we're so conservative that we say we're not even going to listen to you unless you get the permission of the city manager to get on the agenda.
No.
I mean, that's frustrating.
It's not the permission of the city manager.
Please. Well, I didn't mean that to sound...
Let me respond to that. It's not the permission of the city manager. All the person has to do is submit a petition to us so we can include it in the agenda pack.
Yeah.
And I had those conversations a great deal over the last 2 years. And everybody is, you know, we're going to cooperate with folks and get it on the agenda so council can vote on that or hear it or, you know, whatever's necessary. I work with a lot of the public on that, and I don't give permission. I just process.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that to sound the way it came out. Sorry.
I got another question on the credit cards, and I'm very tickled that the city is going to start accepting credit card payments for utilities or whatever that happens to be.
Yes.
But how about the fee, the collection fee? It says they're not going to charge us for setup, but even Uncle Sam and the state controller charges us 2 or 3%.
Yes, sir. They will charge a transaction fee, and we've just had a recent change in the regulations and law that allow us to collect a transaction fee. Do we call it a it's a transaction fee, right? What did we call it? The service fee. Thank you. I knew I'd get the wrong word. I'm sorry, Jim.
Right. So
there's a service fee. So
and that'll cover our cost.
We believe so. We discussed that at the retreat as well. We're doing some follow-up with our financial institution. We just had, I think the changes came in effect the first or second week of November, so it's just happened. We've talked about this for literally 20 years, and finally we can make it work. And as you said, Mr. Edward, not adversely affect our revenue stream. We can keep it revenue neutral.
I asked the wrong question. Maybe we don't want to lose any money on
no,
this.
No, sir,
deal.
We don't.
Because I don't know how our good citizens that can't speak at a council meeting, they will go pay 3% to pay their bill is still beyond my comprehension, but that's okay.
Well, it's kind of like as we drive home tonight, you know, you can get the milk on special at Kroger, or if you have to fill up with gas, you go to the convenience store, you can buy the milk there, and the price is
I'm going to pay that 3%.
I understand.
The other thing, the Friday awards breakfast we had, I know Alicia was the person that was in charge or the place, but that went over very well, and I thank everybody for doing that, and I know a lot of work goes into something that seemed like a simple function, but it's not. You know, you have hundreds of people there, so thanks to all the people in the city for doing that.
Thank you, and I want to publicly thank Mrs. Rideout. I think one of the most difficult things we do at the annual awards meal is to make sure we get the service pins correct and the retirements correct and folks notified. And Sarah does an absolutely amazing job with that. And we have several volunteers in the committee, and our department directors are all involved. And Glenn, I want to thank PRT for giving a gift of cleaning up after all of us when we left. And hopefully those guys still got an afternoon off. Good. So, you know, we discussed that and wanted to try some new things, and we appreciate council working with us. And literally, we've had discussions all day today. We've heard nothing but just very positive comments about the whole experience at the breakfast. So thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of folks.
I got one quick question on the service fee on credit card payments of whatever. Are we actually charged by the credit card company that 3%, or is it 2.5%? What happens to the excess or the... difference? It can't be $3 every time.
Well,
is there an account where all that money goes into, separated from, like, if I pay my land property taxes by credit card, that's going to be a certain $3 per whatever.
Right.
It would be a different number than what is on my
right. And what we've tried to do is look at it, Mr. Homoki. It's amazing. It's Visa, MasterCard, and for all practical purposes, Discover. We cannot make an American Express card work. I'm sorry. Their service fees are just exorbitant. But the service charges depend on the type of card you have. Do you have, like, a rewards card? Do you have a corporate card? Is it a personal card? And so, the fees vary. What we're trying to do is look at this and make sure that the service charge represents us recouping our actual cost as best we can. We just have to look at that and average it and make it work.
Do we get a billing from the card companies, or do we have to do our own calculations?
The answer is yes to both. I mean, we audit it. I mean, they do charge us. And they do make that statement, and then we have to audit it and make sure that we're paying what we should pay and not paying more.
Okay. I just have a couple of quickies. Thank you for the pension plan actuary report.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, I found about a dozen terms that I have no idea what they are, so
if
I'll get a memo and send
fine.
It to you.
That's
every
fine.
Time I get into one of these things, it's a learning curve. I wonder if you can't get at the next meeting, the meeting after that is fine. We're hiring a lot of people in public safety, and I'd like to get a feel for where we are, our authorized manning versus our current manning. I think we've been hiring a lot, and God, it takes, once you hire, I guess it takes a year in some cases before
we can let
them go out in a vehicle by themselves. And
that's part of the accreditation requirements, Mr. Dewar. It can take as long as a year and a half. It just depends on who we hire. We were very fortunate that we hired several people that had had law enforcement experience. Mm-hmm. They'd already been to the academy. They were certified, so their path, of course, is a lot shorter. But we can absolutely put that together.
Yeah, just give us a sense of where we stand. I had previously asked Richard to give us a sense at horizons of where we stand financially. Just look at our wages versus North Augusta, the state, and the county and so forth, to make sure that we're competitive and not losing people. So
we are looking at that. I think folks understand dollars, and the challenge is always identifying the value of a benefit.
Sure.
So some departments that have the dollars don't have the benefits. Some departments that have the benefits don't have the dollars, and we can do our best that we can to make sure we're comparing apples to apples. There are also departments that council needs to be aware that'll do like a hiring bonus, so you start out here, and then it's a plateau for many years. So, it's kind of a comprehensive look that you have to take.
I'd just like to be comfortable enough to know that what we're doing is the right thing. It may not agree with the rest of the 8 police agencies in the area, but it's defendable, and we've established an environment that will retain our people, because you don't want to train somebody for a year and then lose them.
It can be kind of a constant greener pastures issue that you're dealing with.
Sure.
And certainly that is something that Chief Barranco and I discussed when he first came on board, and believe it or not, in January it's going to be a year that he's been here. And as part of the budget process, we will be looking at that. And as part of the budget process, we plan on addressing those concerns and having that. So it might be helpful to us if we could do that as part of the budget process or at Horizons, to kind of let you know where we're going with that.
If you want to do it at Horizons, fine. I like the way they were presented at our zero-based budgeting, because it was by department, it was by slot. It made it very visible, and we had a sense of I'm not worried about the cost at this point, but my first question was the manning. How many do we have versus how many are we supposed to have? And then at the Horizons, if you want to talk the financial structure, compensation structure, that'd be great.
It'll guide us in our budget preparations in the spring, if we can have that discussion.
The other item is, now that we're moving out of this building, mm-hmm. Will council be involved in the discussions of how we're going to reconfigure downstairs?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. And finally, I noticed that the Aiken Corporation used to give us an update on the Crosland Park, but the minutes that I got last week, they only talk about the 5 houses that they own. So
they have 2 that
two
they
houses.
Bought.
Is it 2?
2.
Okay.
I think it just got left out.
If it got left out, fine. If it didn't get left out, could we get something from you periodically?
On the Aiken Corporation Executive Committee minutes?
Yeah, the spreadsheet for the city houses wasn't in there this time.
Oh, okay.
Typically, it's on the back of the Aiken Corp. They're back-to-back, and the back didn't get printed, what it looks like.
Oh, okay. They have 2 houses.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Right.
But the city accounting wasn't on the back of the sheet like it normally is.
Well, we can certainly provide it.
And we can put the rentals in it and so forth?
Absolutely. That's not a problem. We're in the process of interviewing for a project coordinator and are narrowing the field. And I think once we have that new person on board, then we'll be up and running and have that on a regular basis without any problem.
Okay. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay.
Well, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and be safe. And unless something comes up, we will not have another meeting until January. So we wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We are adjourned.
Are we going to teach up to be a Garrett?
Trying to.